Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's proclamation of the good news is from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11, our Old Testament lesson. And in these verses we find Moses giving the instructions for the ritual at the Feast of Weeks. We're going to especially for much of the sermon focus on verse 5. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father. And he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly, humiliated us, laid on us hard labor. We cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and oppression. The Lord brought us up out of Egypt. After the final hymn during the 8:30 service, I found a number of people as they were shaking my hand, not looking at me eye to eye, but they were looking more at my waist and finding the X's and O's. So if you end up doing that, I'll understand. Our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 26 is the story of how the offering is to be made by the people of God when they take possession of the inheritance of their land. And they have planted their seeds, and now there is a harvest. And they will bring their harvest to that place where God has promised His name to dwell. The tent of meeting, the tabernacle, the temple. And as they bring their baskets of wheat and barley, of grapes and figs and pomegranates and olives and dates, as they bring this offering of things that are native to this land that they have now taken possession of, they are asked by Moses to remember where they have come from and how they have taken possession of this land and how they now have a harvest. That this reflection at the time of harvest is a time to both examine what they have and to give thanks for where it came from. This story of how the offering is to be presented is a very ritualistic section of Scripture. There is the motion of how they bring the baskets forward. They put it at the feet of the priest. The priest picks it up. He makes an offering of it. And then the people make this recitation of the story of their past. And then there is instruction for how they are to celebrate this. It is a remarkably descriptive ritual here in Deuteronomy 26. And in this ritual is a chance for us not only to see the story of how an offering was made during the Feast of Weeks, a feast that you may know better by its name in Greek, which is Pentecost, because it's the feast that would take place 50 days after the Passover, that time of harvest when everyone would gather in Jerusalem and make the presentation of their offerings. But it's not only a story of the offering at the Feast of Weeks. It's a story of how the people remember their salvation. And as you hear today in this sermon the details of this ritual, I want you to have opportunity to have reflection on your own experience of how you bring forward your life as an offering to the Lord, and how you make presentation to God and to your neighbor of the gifts that you have, and how in this presentation of your life as an offering to the Lord, you humbly are reflecting not on the great things that you have done, but you are marveling in how God has been at work in you. Let's now take a time in this text to see some of the details of this ritual. It describes them arriving at the harvest, going to the priest, making presentation, saying, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into this land that the Lord has sworn to give to us. The priest takes the basket. And then Moses asked them to say these words. I want you to notice how, as the person makes recitation, as he makes remembrance of this past, how it moves from being the thoughts of something that happened to someone else to now it has a possession of their own story as well. And to think about how every generation has to do this with their faith. There is a time when you see your life and the story of your salvation as something that's happened in the past to someone else. But then as that story moves into your own life, that story of the past takes on the character of now how your present goes forward. You'll see it now in verse 5. It says, a wandering Aramean was my father. So we're looking at the past. He went down to Egypt. He sojourned there, few in number. There he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And now in verse 6, it moves from being something that happened to someone else. So now it's happening to the person right now. And it says, and the Egyptians treated us harshly, humiliated us, laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord. And this story that happened to the Hebrews, it becomes a story that is your own as well, because you are a part of the children of God through your adoption into this family. Through Jesus Christ, your faith in Him, you have this story to be your own as well, because you have been grafted into this family that is telling this story. So for you as well, it's not just a story that happened to somebody else, but it becomes a story of your own as well. We had a father who was a wandering Aramean. That word wandering, it's a word that describes someone who is desperate, someone who is cut off from community, someone who's fading away. It's a story that has, it's a word, wandering, that's used a lot in Scripture to describe sheep. And I suppose it's good for us as a church that's named our shepherd. What happens to sheep when they're wandering? When they have this feeling of being cut off? Soon they are perishing. Sheep that are wandering are cut off and forgotten. But this wandering Aramean did not remain wandering. He didn't remain lost. It says he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous, because the Lord called him out of his wandering and placed him in this land of Egypt. As Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt, there they became a great nation. But kind of in a roller coaster of faith, the Egyptians treated us harshly. This world can bring a terrible time upon us of persecution and struggling. There can be moments when we can look out into the world and not see the promises of God very evident and clear among us. And so what happens in this recitation next? We cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. In this moment of despair, when there is nothing left in this world for us to look at and find an answer, we are left to call to God. And we call to God, and He sees us and He hears us. And as God sees us and hears us, He doesn't see us based on how great and mighty we are. He doesn't hear us because of how loud our voice has become. He sees us because of how oppressed and broken down we are, how small and insignificant Egypt has made us. When He hears us, He doesn't hear us because our voice has become great in strength. He hears us because our groanings have become too deep for words. And God, as He hears the cry of the oppressed and He feels compassion for us, He moves history to be able to bring to us relief and redemption. This is the promise of this story of offering, that as we remember our wandering lost ways and have confidence that God has heard us and seen us, He moves history to accomplish His purposes. He mutes the voice of the Pharaoh and He lifts up the voice of the oppressed so that the song of the redeemed can be heard again. This is the character of God. When He sees and hears the oppressed, He moves history to accomplish His purposes. And now this is where I want you to see it to be your own story as well. We are lost, condemned sinners, wandering in our oppressions, wandering in our struggles. We cry to the Lord for deliverance, and He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Because God has seen us and heard us, not in our great and mighty strength, but in our brokenness. And He has sent His Son now to redeem us and rescue us. He moves history. He takes the powers of this world, of Pilate. And though He was crucified under Pontius Pilate, He rose again to be our Savior, moving even the character of death, silencing and muting these powers of this world, so that again the oppressed can lift up their voices and sing. The Lord has brought you to this place now. He has made your story of an offering of your life, not just an offering of yourself, but more importantly, a lifting up of the story of salvation. As the people of this time are told by Moses to make this story at their offering of the harvest, a story not just of the past, but a story of the present, I want you as well to see the story of your salvation is not just a story of what has happened in the past, but it's the story of how you are here now in this present moment. Though lost and condemned sinners we may be, our Savior has heard us. He has seen us, and He has redeemed and rescued us so that we can be His people. It's now at this point I want to point out to you the third part of the story of the offering that's in Deuteronomy 26. Moses tells the people to gather the harvest, to place it before the priest. The priest lifts up the basket. The people make this recitation. And the third part, in Deuteronomy 26:11, it says, "You shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite, the sojourner who is among you." And there is this bounce back and forth between you and it's you and the house, you and the Levite, you and the sojourner. As you bring the story of salvation into your voice and you lift up with declaration the praises of God that you have, it's a joy to share this story, not just with you and God, but you share it with your household. That household, as a word, describes the servants. It describes the family. It describes that communion of saints that God has brought among you. Our song of joy that we have as the people of God who have been delivered out of our sin and brought into the resurrection, it's a song that we sing not just among ourselves, but we bring our whole households together to sing this song. And then this notion that the song is sung with the servants and those who have helped shape and support us into this spot we are, it's also sung with the Levites. What does that mean, the Levites in this spot? Well, you see, it's a harvest festival, right? So people are bringing the produce of their land to the Lord. Now, the Levites as a tribe, in the distribution of the promised land, they weren't given a land. So at the harvest festival, the Levites don't have baskets full of harvest from their land because the Levites weren't given an allocation of land. They were given the vocation of ensuring the worship was in the land. So at the harvest festival, when the Levites have no harvest to bring, they're invited to everybody else's party. This direction to include the Levites in this rejoicing is a direction to bring those who are landless, to bring those who are homeless into this joy. Because the joy that we have at harvest is not secured by how much land that we have. The joy we have at this harvest festival is that the Lord has given it to us. So we bring into the celebration our household. We bring into this celebration the landless. And then the third direction of who gets included in this joy, who gets included in the celebration of the communion of saints, is the sojourner among us. The word sojourner is describing the one who is traveling, doesn't have a place that they can call their own, and so they're vulnerable. They don't even clearly have a vocation because they're traveling to where they are headed. Unlike the Levites, who at least, though they may not have land, have a vocation, the sojourner neither has land nor vocation. They are refugees on their way to a place. I want you to think about this now, that as you remember where you have come from, lost and condemned sinners though that we are, redeemed people of God whose voices have now been filled with the story of redemption. It's a story that you share together with the communion of saints, those who are made holy, not because they have a lot of harvest in their land or have a lot of places to call their own. It's a story of the communion of saints because our holiness, it's found in what God has done. This story of the offering, it is your story of salvation. It is your story of every day. Amen.